Wisconsin will become the 25th right-to-work state when Governor Scott Walker signs the bill into law today. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk about right to work and other top issues in state politics on this edition of our State Capitol Report. And we will welcome any questions or views you have on right to work or other issues being debated at the State Capitol. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are joined, as we often are at this time, by Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Boy, have you recovered from your 24-hour marathon assembly debate on right to work?
I don't know. It might take a while to shake off, but yeah, it's a new week.
It is a new week, and today the governor signs this bill that the assembly sent him on Friday. He'll be signing it not at the state capitol, but at a business in Brown Deer.
Yeah, Badger Meter is where he'll be signing it at 8:45 this morning. And that'll make Wisconsin the 25th right-to-work state in the nation. And right-to-work meaning banning mandatory union dues at private sector businesses.
And there was a lot of debate, obviously, in 24 hours. What were some of the arguments for and against?
Yeah, we'll just play a little montage of some of the debate here. For and against the right-to-work bill in the state assembly at the end of last week.
We are going to join 24 other states who have that same love for liberty that we're going to exercise today.
Make no mistake, this is about busting strong unions in the workplace and diminishing democracy, where workers come together and do together what they cannot do alone.
We don't care if they do, we don't care if they don't. We care if they have the choice. Let the workers make that choice, the individual worker.
Today is a day, I believe, that we have solidified the regressive era in Wisconsin. We've had 100 years of support or more for the working class, and you've put another nail in that coffin.
We believe in this. You aren't going to make us feel ashamed. That isn't going to happen. We believe in it, and we're quite confident that we're doing the right thing for the state of Wisconsin.
Right to work is not about freedom. It does not make workers more free. It makes them poorer.
So the voices you heard there were Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Assembly Democrat Corey Mason, Republican Chris Kapinga, Democrat Therese Brousseau, Republican Dean Knutson, and Democrat Chris Taylor. And a similar theme to the arguments going back and forth all night. You had Republicans hitting the words freedom and liberty frequently. I mean, that was their primary point all night and into the morning, was that this was about workplace freedom and liberty, the right of the worker to choose. And I think they kind of made the economic development angle of it secondary, the argument that this will lure companies to come locate in Wisconsin. They really focused on that point, freedom, liberty, over and over again. Democrats, major points that you heard there, made again and again, this will lower wages, this will bust unions, and the Republicans weren't listening to the people.
Yeah, so I noticed that the AFL-CIO is urging members and supporters to call Governor Walker and ask him to veto this bill. The chances of that are nil.
The chances are nil. I mean, I guess that's a formal step you have to take if you're an organization, but he's signing this bill.
Yeah. But yet, for a long time, the governor was saying that he didn't want this bill, that it was a distraction, that it was not one of his priorities. And then he changed his tune on that and said that the time was right and kind of took a little bit of credit for getting it passed.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the governor in either of his last two campaigns, his reelection campaign in 2014 or his recall campaign in 2012, he never promised that he would veto this bill. But he gave every indication that it was not going to happen on his watch. So here's just here's an example. This was from April 25th, 2012, toward the end of his recall campaign, and he is being interviewed by Joy Cardine.
Let me just ask you, if the legislature would send you a bill that would make Wisconsin a right-to-work state, would you sign it or would you veto it?
Yeah, that's not even going to get there. People have asked me in the past in the legislature, and we've said I have no interest in a right-to-work law in the state. We're not going to pursue that in the remainder of our term, and we're not going to pursue it in the future. The reason is private sector unions overwhelmingly are my partner in economic development.
So, yeah, I mean, that was head of the recall campaign, but he said we're not going to pursue that in the future. And he then made a point that he made often in those years, and that is private sector unions were different, that Act 10 was about the public sector, private sector unions were his partner. He has moved well beyond that. I mean, as soon as Republicans introduced this right-to-work bill or said that they had the votes to pass it, the governor came out and said he supported it. He did co-sponsor right-to-work legislation as a member of the state legislature. In the 90s, here he was at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce last week, and he actually used the phrase, we pushed this.
If you're a company that's here and you're looking to grow, or if you're talking to one of your colleagues in the industry and trying to get someone to come here, we now have given one more big thing on that checklist to say that Wisconsin is open for business.
So, you know, the governor at this point taking full ownership of this. You've heard him mention it during campaign stops nationally. For example, at CPAC a few weeks ago, the governor said that we're going to make Wisconsin the 25th right-to-work state. Expect you'll hear him mention that quite frequently, especially during the Republican primary here. So a definite change of tune for the governor on this issue.
Well, we have a number of callers on this, so let's quickly take Jerry in Brown Deer. Hi, Jerry.
Well, there are four Republican senators on the outer ring this morning that are having second thoughts about their vote. Olson, Harnsdorf, Godot, Coles. They campaigned on a non-right-to-work pledge and went to union halls during the August through November 2014 election cycle and said in certain terms that they would never vote for right to work. Mm-hmm. And yet they were in the yes column 2 weeks ago Wednesday.
So, again, because of some limited time, some state legislators in any kind of political trouble for voting yes when they said they would not, Sean?
We'll see. Unlike the governor, where there's a lot of tape out there of him talking about this issue, you know, not promising to veto, but saying that he wasn't going to support it. We weren't up in every Senate district to get audio of any of these guys. I can say that, you know, there were only two Republican senators that voted on this when it came up in that chamber. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the polling on this doesn't suggest that it's a huge outlier, but I mean, it'd be nice if we had some academic polling on it. Unfortunately, recently we've got a lot of polling on it from organizations with skin in the game. But I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how senators fare in districts with a big union presence. To who went ahead and voted for this.
Briefly, we had Republican State Senator Jerry Petrosky.
He was the lone Republican no vote in the entire legislature.
Yeah.
And Petrosky used to be a member of a union and said that influenced his vote.
Let's go to Ann in Waukesha. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I was just wondering where the Republicans are coming from when they've got, you know, Act 10 freed the public sector and people, and now we have right to work freeing up the private sector. But we still have our police and fire who, by their account, are tied down to unions and required to be in unions. But I'm not hearing any discussion about when they're going to be freeing those people. And I didn't know if there was some discussion going on in Madison or anywhere about why there's some unions that seem to be okay and other unions are not okay.
Sean, we have just a minute before news. Why do police and fire unions still have their collective bargaining and their union rights?
I would watch this year's budget debate closely. There are some Republican lawmakers who have said that they don't like that, and they don't want them to be excluded from Act 10. Right to work was something that they didn't want to do till they did it. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw police and fire get discussed in this year's budget now that it's in the legislature hands.
Well, we might have something else to be talking about in the weeks to come. We do have other issues to talk about in this edition of our State Capitol Report, and we will get to those issues with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter, after we check the latest news. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about state politics on this edition of our State Capitol Report with WPR State Government Reporter Sean Johnson. We did a recap on right to work in Wisconsin, and Governor Walker signing that bill into law today, making Wisconsin the 25th right to work state. But other happenings at the state capitol besides right to work last week, including, Sean, there were a number of state agency heads went before the Joint Finance Committee, and including the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, Mart Gottlieb, to talk about the proposed state budget for transportation. What news was made there?
Yeah, so Mark Gottlieb had he proposed a budget that would have increased a variety of taxes and fees in order to pay for transportation going forward. The governor essentially took that budget, nixed all the taxes and fees, but kept the spending for the road projects. And so to do that, he would borrow $1.3 billion in this budget. And that has a number of Republican lawmakers worried, had Democratic lawmakers worried, well, they can't, they won't exactly have a say in what happens. You have bipartisan concern over this borrowing. So Gottlieb got up before the Joint Finance Committee, said, look, I don't like it either, but if you cut $500 million, for example, of bonding, you're going to delay, and he just rattled off a long list of projects that would not go forward if the legislature reduces borrowing by a half a billion dollars. And so, then the question becomes, okay, do you want to make those cuts, or you want to find revenue somewhere? And so here's a little exchange with Republican State Representative Dean Knutson of Hudson asking Gottlieb, so what happens if we send the governor a gas tax increase?
So is your understanding then if we raised the gas tax and got more revenue for you that he would then wish to see us lower taxes a comparable amount somewhere else in the budget?
That is my understanding.
I mean, significant for a couple of reasons. One, you have a Republican lawmaker floating the idea of a gas tax. I mean, he's not saying, I want to do this. He's not proposing it. But he's out there very publicly saying, what if we do this? Secondly, I think the response from Gottlieb and the way that they're framing this is if you increase the gas tax, the governor's going to want a tax decrease somewhere else in the budget, which would mean potentially less money, less revenue for the general fund, which pays for schools, university, prisons, healthcare, stuff like that. So,
So there's a hint out there that maybe the gas tax will be hiked and some other spending or tax will be lowered, or there might be some sort of changes in some way, shape, or form to the proposed transportation budget.
There's a hint that they're looking at revenue anyway. I mean, State Senator Luther Olson was actually more explicit. He said, I think we got to look at this. We got to man up and woman up and look at this, I think was what Luther Olson said. So they're not comfortable with the idea of, or at least some of them are not comfortable with the idea of cutting that much from the budget to reduce bonding. And they're not comfortable with the idea of, going forward as it stands now, pretty soon the state will be every dollar of transportation revenue that comes in 20 cents of it is going to go toward paying off old debt. Instead of going toward paying roads, it's paying off old debt. And that number is just going to keep climbing based on the trajectory we're on now. So, you know, that's an issue.
Yeah. Another issue that came to light last week is the amount of money that the state is paying for Governor Walker's security detail, especially as he travels around.
Yeah, this is something that was WKOW TV actually did a story, and they found that the governor's security detail, they initiated a pilot program in order to give those guys raises. $4 an hour raises compared to what other state troopers are making. And so last week, Gottlieb was pressed by Democrats, you know, what are these, as the governor travels around the country, are these guys getting paid by taxpayers? If you want to, there's State Senator John Erpenbach who's asking the question.
For the purposes of providing personal security to the governor, he is the governor all the time, no matter what he is doing. And that is true of this governor, and it has been true of previous governors.
Governor Doyle wasn't running for president. Governor Thompson, while he was governor, wasn't running for president. Nor was Governor McCallum, nor was Governor Knowles, nor was Governor Schreiber, nor was Governor Dreyfus. These trips are purely political in nature.
So, you know, Gottlieb saying what we're doing isn't any different than what we've done in the past when the governor is the governor's the governor all the time, and he has security paid for by the state. Senator Erpenbach saying, yeah, well, look, he's out there doing something that no governor has done before and traveling around the country quite a bit to do it.
Also, before Joint Finance Committee, another agency head who talked about budget issues, DNR's Kathy Stepp, responding presumably to the proposed state budget, Governor Walker eliminating all state taxpayer funding from the state parks.
Right, and it would require the state park system to rely on fees in order to operate going forward. So here's another exchange. Senator Erpenbach was on a roll last week, and he's asking DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp, okay, if we're not going to have this state funding for our parks, what are we going to do? Does that mean corporate naming rights for state parks?
So we'd go out and, like, you know, state park brought to you by ATC is what you're getting at. Sponsorships, well, in other words, to try and raise revenue rather than have our state tax dollars go toward our state parks. You're looking for corporate sponsorship to sell naming rights?
Well, we're currently not looking to do that now, but these are all going to be parts of the discussion that I look forward to getting legislative input on over the next 2 years.
So that's not a proposal right now, but Secretary Stepp had every opportunity to say, you know, that's ridiculous, Senator, and she said, hey, we want to get input on ideas like this to fund our park system.
Well, let's see. Lots of other stuff going on, but limited time left with you, Sean, on the State Capitol Report. Well, why don't we talk about, the governor last week, I don't know, surprising some perhaps, called for a bill in the state legislature, or said he expected a bill in the state legislature to come to his desk and he would sign it, a bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy in Wisconsin. What's going on here?
Yeah, the governor, it happened, he put out this letter the day after he was kind of called out by a national conservative group. And they said, you know, quote, maybe he's not ready for prime time. The governor the next day puts out a letter, says, if you send a bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, I will sign it. And it's not that the governor ever said that he wouldn't do that. But while he was running for governor, he was asked, would you sign this bill? And given ample opportunity to say, yes, I would. And he took a pass on that.
Yeah, and apparently the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Board wanted to talk to him about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you got time, this is the Journal Sentinel Board, where reporter Bill Glauber asked him a few times, "What's your position on this bill?"
Wisconsin Right to Life, I believe, has made it part of its agenda to pass legislation banning abortions after 20 weeks. Do you believe abortion should be banned after 20 weeks?
Those are all things we'd have to look at in the future session out there.
Well, you support, I believe you co-sponsored a bill back in 98 saying abortion should be banned after 20 weeks. So I want to pin you down. Should abortion be banned after 20 weeks?
Again, I said those are all things that we'll certainly look at in the next
legislative. No, your personal view, not a legislative view, your personal view.
Well, I mean, I think it's a human life. And I think that's something that people, regardless of where they stand politically, but those are things that we'll have to talk about in the next legislative session if it comes up.
So can I take it that you believe abortion should be banned after 20 weeks?
Well, again, I think it's a human life. So that obviously raises some concerns for me. The things we focused in on the last session were relatively simple and direct forward. Things we talked about the other night in terms of legislation I supported that I think increases safety and yet provides more information for a woman considering her options.
And, you know, he went on in that interview to say, look, we can talk about this stuff if you want, but I don't hear anybody asking about it, kind of downplaying the issue. Now he's bringing it up as he runs for president. Also, over the weekend, he spoke in Iowa at a forum there to talk about agricultural issues, and he changed his position on the renewable energy portfolio.
How so?
He previously opposed government mandates to promote the use of ethanol. At this forum, he said that he was okay with the renewable energy portfolio. Meaning that he would support it. So free marketeers, not so happy with that decision, but the governor is leading the pack.
And
Iowa likes
ethanol, right?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's very important. I think I saw reporters who were in Iowa over the weekend saying that the governor of Iowa opened the forum by talking about what a great thing that renewable energy portfolio was. So kind of set the stage there, and, you know, the governor took a position that conflicts with his past record.
Very briefly, Sean, what lies ahead at the state capitol this week?
Right to work is done. I mean, a couple weeks there, and that's over. The agency briefings for the budget are done. We've got some public hearings coming up, but not this week. You do have public hearings this week on a variety of bills, including one that would change Wisconsin's John Doe law. This is something being pushed by Republicans in response to the way the Milwaukee County DA handled John Doe investigations involving Governor Scott Walker.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Talk to you soon.
All right, you're welcome.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network.